The passage that we're going to be looking at is very familiar. It's the story of Martha and Mary with Jesus in their home. There's so much to learn from this text, and it's so appropriate for us as we think about what it means to minister the gospel of Jesus Christ. So as James' father comes to read the passage, I invite you now to stand for the reading of God's word found in Luke chapter 10.
Today's reading comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10, verses 38 to 42. Now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she went up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her." This is the word of the Lord.
Father, help us to listen. You have given us everything that's necessary for us to listen. The Holy Spirit, present now, who illuminates our hearts and minds. Oh God, would you please let us not receive what we are about to hear simply as information, but let it transform our lives. Perhaps this being even the day of our salvation, or certainly a day in which we heard anew the gospel of Jesus Christ. We pray in your holy name. Amen. Okay, picture the scene. Two sisters, Martha, Mary, and God is in their house. Jesus Christ, incarnate, fully God, fully man, in their home. Martha's busy because much needs to be done. She stands, she speaks. Mary sits and doesn't speak. She listens. Listens to the teachings of God, Jesus Christ incarnate. When I was a young, very young minister, one of the volunteers I looked at and led and was looking at said to me, "Mark, you do not listen." And I'm not sure I said this, but I know I thought it. "I'm sorry, what'd you say?" He was direct, which he needed to be, and he was right. It wasn't the first time I would hear, and I'm not a good listener. Listening is hard, and it's so important. As one called to the gospel ministry, and because we believe in the priesthood of all believers, we're all called to make known the name of Jesus. Listening to God is so important. Listening to his holy word is so important. Listening for the voice of God as he speaks to us through his Holy Spirit, and through his holy scriptures, is so important. It's vital. If I don't listen to God, I have absolutely nothing to say to you. And if you don't listen to God, you're going to have a very, very difficult time truly absorbing the power of God's word, read and preached. Listening is so important, and yet it's so difficult for us. This morning, I want to look at this passage for just a few minutes as we come to ordain James. Why was it hard for Martha to listen? Jesus tells us a bit about the story. Martha was distracted with much what? Serving. A good thing. Things had to be done. Why was it hard for her to listen? The most primary truth is she really didn't recognize who was in her house. Her sister did, somehow. And Mary chose the better thing, and Jesus said, "This will not be taken from her." But Martha chose not to sit at the feet of Jesus. She chose to stand and to move and to get busy with serving, to get busy with ministry, to get busy serving this very important guest. But her heart got distracted, got busy, it got noisy. And so it's interesting that Mary sits and never says a word. But Martha stands and moves and speaks. And do you see how she speaks to Jesus? The first thing we see is that she asks Jesus questions. "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone?" Have you ever felt like Martha? Have you ever had a sibling that wasn't doing their share? You ever had a coworker or somebody in ministry you're volunteering with that just really wasn't doing their part? You ever notice them? And did you ever want to be noticed for what you're doing? Did you ever have a conversation with yourself about them? Martha was having a conversation with herself, and she was taking it to Jesus. She speaks and she stands. "Don't you care that my sister has left me to serve alone?" Then she moves from a question to the living God to a command of the living God. "Tell her then to help me." And that's amazing. But I get it. There's a part of me in Martha and a part of Martha in me. Tell her. And Jesus speaks, I believe tenderly, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled." When are we called to be anxious and troubled? Just something to think about. "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary." Do you believe that? Do you believe that when there's so much to be done? One thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion which will not be taken from her. Why was it so hard for Martha to listen? There was so much to be done. And she wanted, I'm sure, to impress Jesus. We're often tempted to impress Jesus with our service and our works. Jim, James, dad, son, the people that God's called you to lead need you to listen. Not just to them, but to the living God. Because we're a people that don't listen well. Our lives are so noisy. Even with good things like ministry, like raising children, like caring for parents, like volunteering for ministries and missions, our lives are so full, but we have such a hard time listening. We have such a difficult time choosing the greater portion, which we're promised will not be taken from us. Why? Why is it so hard to listen? Well, first, I think it's because there is so much noise. There is noise everywhere. There's external noise. It's loud. I have a wonderful office just to the east here of the sanctuary. It's in this corner, and it's beautiful, and it's quiet, except for the traffic on Wycliffe. Distracts me. I put on headphones, noise cancellation headphones, often, because I hear that noise, and I hear the phones ring, and I hear people talking in offices near me. It's noisy. Our world is noisy everywhere, and I haven't even begun to mention the electronics in our hands. in our laps, in front of us on a desk. We live in a loud world. But even if you shut all of that noise out, then you have the internal noise. We allow about 45 seconds of silence in our worship services. What if we extended it to 5 minutes? You know how uncomfortable most of us would be? And some would say it's a waste of time. Maybe that's one of the reasons we don't like silence. We don't like listening. So first, there's so much noise. Secondly, there's so much need. As a minister, and one called to vocational ministry, you have accepted a calling that never ends. There will never be a day, James, when you're going to be able to come home and say, I did enough. There's no more need. There's no more need for people to hear about Jesus. I have created a sermon that I'm going to preach to the RUF large group gathering on Tuesday night or Wednesday night, whatever night you're meeting, and it's perfect. There's nothing else I can add to it. There's no tweak. It's perfect grammatically. It's perfect exegetically. It has lived body detail and application. Next to the Sermon on the Mount, it's perfect. Never going to happen. You will never have a day when you say, there's nothing more to do for the work in the kingdom of God. And you know, that's noisy. It's noisy. But I think there's a greater reason we don't listen. And it's not just the external and internal noise. And it's not just the amazing amount of need. It's fear. I think fear, above all else, keeps us from listening. I think it's fear of what other people will think about us if we don't look like Martha, busy in ministry. I mean, if you call my office on a Monday and you talk to my assistant, you say, what's Mark doing? I'd like to meet with him. And she says, Mark's praying today. Oh, good, then I can interrupt. You might think a minister's lazy because he blocks off times just to be still and know that he's God. It's noisy. We're so afraid of what people might think of us if we truly took the posture of Mary and sat at the feet of Jesus. I think we're also afraid of listening because we're afraid of what we might hear or what we might not hear. And fear can consume us. And it's like putting cotton in our ears so we can't hear the truth of what really is being said to us. I want to draw your attention to one verse. It's a verse that I think connects beautifully to Luke 10. But it's in Proverbs. I don't want you to turn there. I just want you to listen. Proverbs 1:33. But all who listen to me, now listen, this is God's word. But all who listen to me will live in peace. Let me just stop there. Brothers and sisters, guests of this church today, can you describe your life right now as a life of peace? Is there peace in your life? I don't mean just glimpses. I mean, is your life right now as a Christian radically defined by a peace that is beyond what you can even really explain? I believe that's what God is offering us. Do you have amazing peace in the midst of raising children or going to school or pursuing the ministry that the Lord wants you to be involved in? Are you at peace about your status in life, single, longing to be married? Do you have peace? Listen to what the proverb is promising us. Listen to what God is promising us. But all who listen to me will live in peace. Now here's the second part of this verse. But all who listen to me will live in peace, untroubled, I love this, untroubled by the fear of harm. when we listen to God, to His holy word, when we listen to Him, He tells us we will live in peace and we will actually live untroubled by the fear of harm. But isn't it the fear of harm, of so many things that could happen to our children that are being raised in this crooked generation, that keeps us from listening? Because you see, the opposite of this promise is also true. If you don't listen to God, you won't live in peace. You won't live untroubled by the fear of harm. You will live troubled by the fear of harm. And I'm telling you, brothers and sisters in Christ, our lives should look radically different in the area of trust and peace. I mean radically different because of who He is. But if we won't listen, our lives won't look different. They will look just like the anxious, chaotic person who doesn't know Christ, who's not trusting in Christ, who's fearful of everything. We don't need to be afraid. So lastly then, I'm sure you sit here listening and agree with what is being preached. The question is, how do we listen? How do we listen in a world that is so abundantly noisy? And even if we get times of quiet, the internal reality of our lives are so noisy. Just a few things before James stands before us to answer the questions. First, God is the one calling us to listen. Do you hear that? God speaks. God has no trouble communicating His will to you. God is the one who is calling us to listen. At the end of His sermon, the Sermon on the Mount, already referenced today, Jesus speaks about listening. He speaks about two builders, both who heard the same message. One listened and built his life on the foundation. The other didn't. The storms came. The house that was on the sandy foundation collapsed. The one on the rock, the one who truly listened, sustained the storm. God is the one who's calling us to listen. So recognize who you're listening to. Mary recognized it. Jesus is in my house. And she sat at His feet. Secondly, as you recognize who you're listening to, posture matters. I don't mean kneeling or sitting or standing. I mean, take from this text what Mary was doing. She was sitting at the feet of Jesus. So as we listen to the one who is God, sitting at the feet of Jesus, stopping, sitting, and listening to His teachings. But as we sit, we need to sit. What I mean by that is you can sit and not listen. There is more great preaching available to the church today than at any other time in history. You can download sermon after sermon of your favorite preacher. Christian books are everywhere. Sermons from Spurgeon are available. Lloyd-Jones, they're available. But you can listen to all those, sitting and listening, and truly not be listening. Because here's one of the deceptive things of Satan. Satan wants you to listen as one who's seeking information. Preaching is not about giving information. Preaching is about seeking transformation by the information that you have heard. But in a church that loves the Word of God and loves doctrine, it's easy to be a man or a woman sitting there receiving it as information. If that's what you were doing or have been doing, you're not listening. I don't care how smart you are, you're not listening. The Word of God is meant to radically transform our lives as we listen. It's not just information. It is the living Word of God, which is alive and active. So James, Mark, body, as we sit, we need to sit, to be still and know that He is God. When? How often? Well, certainly daily. C.S. Lewis says this: "It comes the very moment You wake up each morning. All your wishes and hopes for the day rush at you like wild animals. And the first job each morning consists simply in shoving them all back and listening to that other voice, taking that other point of view, letting that other larger, stronger, quieter life come flowing in, and so on all day, standing back from all your natural fussings and frettings, coming in out of the wind. And C.S. Lewis didn't have email or a Twitter account or Facebook. And I could be wrong, but I bet many of you quickly open your email in the morning. Don't. Don't do it anymore. You won't find the answers you're looking for there. How can we hear the voice of the Lord when we allow so early and so often noise to come in? My dear friends, we need to listen. We need to listen early, and we need to listen often to the one who is God, who isn't just in our home, but is reigning in our hearts, who longs for us to hear him. James, that's what the people you shepherd are going to need from you. And here's why. As you listen to the Lord, you will discover he's far greater than you ever imagined. You will discover that his goodness is really good. You will discover his holiness, that he truly is the only one set apart. And there will be a message that you hear over and over again from him who is king, that you will then repeat to others daily. And you know what it is? That God demonstrated his own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. It's the gospel. Every time I've taken a group of men on a silent retreat, every time, the men that have gone have come out of that and said this: I learn so much more about the love of God. You see, the love of God changes everything. God's love for you is perfect. So wide, so deep, so long, so high, it cannot be improved upon. And when we really listen to the God of the universe saying, I love you, I love you, we have something to say to the people who desperately need to hear that message as well.